Welcome to the show. Today, we're honored to have Jimmy Moyaha with us, a seasoned entrepreneur, trader, and finance professional with nearly a decade of experience in financial markets. Jimmy specializes in asset management, focusing on alternative assets and private equity. He's also the host of SAFM Market Update and curator of the Insider Exchange podcast. Jimmy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Nima.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to have you. Let's start with some quick fire questions so we can get to know you a little better. Firstly, what drew you to the world of trading and financial markets?
Interestingly enough, it was purely accidental. I had studied accounting at university. I ended up working in mining and happened to find myself in a brokerage environment and kind of fell in love with the space from there on. I think I found a lot of opportunity in what was possible from a trading perspective. Obviously, understanding that it was with a lot of risk and it was a completely different world to what we can kind of know in traditional finance. And it was a very niche pocket of the financial sector. And I think that was partly what drew me to it.
And how long ago was that?
Probably close to 10 years ago now.
All right. Secondly, can you share a key moment that shaped your trading approach or philosophy?
I think there's been a few. I think thinking back to some of the experiences as well, I mean, there have been a couple of key events that have shaped it as well. So I think back to things like the Steinhoff saga happening in South Africa and markets blowing up around that. I think back to the first Trump administration where he was elected president and the markets reacting to that. I think those kind of pivotal events in history have happened while I've been in the trading space. And that's been something that's influenced greatly how you perceive markets, how you handle markets, how you respond to what's happening, because each one of them has come with some significant learning curves. I mean, the pandemic is another such example. That was the first time I'd seen the oil price go to negative on the futures markets. And those kinds of things, they might be small and insignificant when you look back on them historically, but that's probably where some of the key lessons and the biggest learnings have come from, is in those big pivotal moments that have happened.
What's a common misconception about trading that you believe needs to be addressed?
That it's easy. If it were easy, we'd all be doing it. It's not easy. It's very complicated and sophisticated if you're going to do it right. There is always an alternative. There is always an easy way to do something. And then there's always a right way to do something. And I think the misconception is that if I just get into it and get it done, it's going to work out 100% of the time. Some of the best traders that I know have a win rate of less than 50%. And that speaks to the complexities that come with trading. It's not as simple as we make it out to be or as it is marketed to be by some individual. So I think it's something that's very worthwhile to get into. It's very rewarding. But with that reward comes a lot of understanding and risk and things that you have to put in place to get to that reward.
10 years back when you got into the industry, did you think it was going to be easy or did you know the journey that was lying ahead of you?
No, I also thought it might be relatively easy to. I think for me, because you didn't understand or I didn't understand the product I was dealing with at the time, I was very new to that product. It was a big learning curve. It is a very, very steep learning curve. And it takes a lot of resilience to get through all of the learnings. And you're constantly learning. So it's not as though if you get it done and dusted, oh, okay, cool, I've passed the manual, or these are the steps and now I'm proficient at it. It's consistency that you're always going through it. And I think as you get older and as you become more experienced in it, I personally right now feel far more relaxed in my approach to it because of the learnings that I've gone through, because of the mistakes, because of the challenges, because of the ups and downs. I'm more alive to the realities. I think you might come in to this environment with a bit of naivety around it to say it can be just as easy. And yes, it might be lucky, it might be fortunate that you get one or two things right, but to be consistent, to be able to stand and survive more than 12 months, more than 24 months, to be able to build this as a proper industry or career or alternative income stream path, it's not a quick thing. Nothing that's worth pursuing is ever going to be easy, is it?
With that being said, Jimmy, your journey from working in the financial markets to becoming a prominent figure in the asset management and financial education is impressive. Could you share some key experiences and challenges that shaped your path in trading and investment world?
So the CFD world in itself is a niche pocket within financial services. There are other financial services, asset management, private equity, financial advisory that exist. And the overlap, there's very little overlap with the traditional CFD brokerage and the other worlds. Now, when you kind of look at a market like South Africa and Africa, where I've spent a lot of my time kind of specializing in terms of the work that I do, you realize that it's a new market. It's a young market, not just from the participants in the market, but from the knowledge that exists in the market. So having worked for multinational companies, I've gotten to see what it's like to deal with a CFD client based in Dubai, what it's like to deal with a CFD client based in the UK, one based in Australia, and their level of knowledge and understanding of the product itself is very different to the level of understanding that we have in the African market, because it's a new kind of concept for many people. And for me, that was part of the reason why the academy had to be built. The education had to come. The financial literacy that had to come from that was not because financial literacy was just an add-on. It was something that I felt was fundamental for anyone wanting to explore this world and this niche on a bigger scale. You cannot come into something that you know nothing about and not educate yourself. I myself came into the space not knowing what it was, and I took the time to educate myself about the space. And I think that was such a key moment for that business and for us building out that academy, was to service a need that could service a bigger thing, a bigger part of the ecosystem, a bigger part of making people more financially literate. Because even if you don't use those skills to apply them directly to trading, the some of the concepts that you understand, I mean, I think back to some concepts that I learned when I still did economics in high school and in varsity. Some of those concepts carry through. Understanding demand and supply and market movements and market drivers, those concepts come through in trading. But if you don't have that educational background and knowledge, it's very difficult for you to understand and relate that knowledge to what's happening in the current day. So that education business was very essential to a market I feel is still growing.
In your extensive experience, do you believe that successful traders possess inherent qualities, or can these skills be developed over time through education and practice?
There are very few skill sets that can't be taught. Trading is one such example. You can teach these sorts of skill sets. The challenge is teaching them properly and doing it the right way. I find that a lot of the teachings that are happening are a quick fix. Let's understand the here and the now for the immediate. And that doesn't help you navigate the challenges. It doesn't help you navigate the unknowns. Nothing fully prepares you for navigating unknowns, but increasing your knowledge and your skill set, particularly in trading. Trading is one of those environments where if you learn the skill for the sake of learning the skill, not for the sake of making a quick profit or for the sake of driving a particular agenda, but to actually learn what it is about, it's a skill set no one can ever take away from you. It's a skill set you can apply anywhere in the world, and it's a skill set that can fundamentally change your life for the better. And that is something that can be taught, provided you are willing to learn it properly. I think a lot of the societal issues that kind of exist, where you're dealing with things like unemployment, you're dealing with things like lack of opportunities and people having financial obligations, that starts to weigh in from a pressure perspective on the decisions you make. We're all human. That's a normal thing. And you start to then say, perhaps if I do this quickly, I can then better my situation and then I'll come back. More often than not, people don't do the coming back part. People don't come back to it for what it is, right? So at a surface level, it's something you can learn very quickly if you want to, but it's something I would advise that you learn in detail and not try a quick fix with it.
When we're talking about skills, I mean, this is kind of a very broad, many topics in relation to skills in terms of what is needed to be successful in trading. So from your experience, or at least what you drive with you, the people you educate and speak to, what would you say is the most important skill that before they open a live trade that they really need to work on or possess?
Oh, there's so many. Off the top of my head, I think the one that stands out and the one that most traders, myself included, struggle with is discipline. And that's because the nature of the financial markets, the nature of the volatility in the markets, and the human nature that comes with trading psychology, that comes with the human emotion of what we are doing, is such that discipline becomes almost a cornerstone, or one of the cornerstone pillars of a good, successful, long-term trader. Because a disciplined trader knows how to stick to their trading plan. A disciplined investor knows how to look at the bigger picture of their investment strategy. A disciplined market participant understands not to be moved by certain noise.
You know, when I look at Forex education, CFD education, trading psychology, risk management, discipline, this is like a footnote. And it's always about technical analysis and, you know, moving averages, indicators, whatever you want to call it. Why are we not focusing more on the discipline and risk management aspects of trading? What is your thoughts on that?
I think that's a mindset issue. I think that is what's been put out. What we were just mentioning around learning a skill set for the sake of understanding the skill set or for the sake of monetizing it. And I've seen a lot, I've seen far too many technical traders claim that technical analysis is the best thing ever. It is the only thing to use. And I've always held the view that you cannot have one without the other. You cannot have technical analysis without fundamental analysis. And every single time I've said that, someone has said, oh, but technical analysis is superior. And every single time that someone has said that, something like Donald Trump opening up a Twitter account has happened. Something like the oil price crashing to below zero has happened. And those are fundamental news. They have nothing to do with technical analysis. They have nothing to do with a support level or resistance level. When a market completely collapses, goes to zero, it's blown through all of the support levels you can imagine. And that comes from the news that drove it. So for you to want to be a successful market participant and say, I'm going to exclude this key component of understanding a market and understanding market dynamics, clearly means you either haven't acquired the skill set that you say you've acquired, or you're naive to the fact that markets don't move based on what you want them to do. A lot of traders I've seen in the past and traders I've come across have approached the markets from the point of saying, I can put a moving average on a chart, I can put an RSI indicator, I can put a MACD, I can put every single technical indicator that you can think of on a chart, and it'll tell you when this crosses over to this, you must do this, and this crosses over here, these are the actions you need to take. And when that happens and you get your confluencing signals, is what we call them, or your confirmation signals, and you're ready to take the trade. And as you're ready to take the trade, the People's Bank of, or the People's Republic of China puts out an announcement of a stimulus package. All of your research and all of your data suddenly become irrelevant. And when the United States puts out a 2 trillion rand stimulus package in the middle of a pandemic that is affecting the rest of the world, now we've been battling with extended inflation for the last 4 years. And part of that inflation is pricing in something like a stimulus package, where in the Great Depression, it didn't happen. In the 2008 financial crisis, it didn't happen. So your technicals might be able to tell you those things. But to understand that the markets are moving and they move on fundamental news as well is the difference between a trader that sticks around and someone that transitions from trading to managing assets, to managing portfolios. Because now you're not looking at a here and a now. You're understanding that my mindset and my thought process cannot be to make profits over 12 weeks. So for me, when I look at the world of the information and the education that's out there, I think a lot of it is missing some of those gaps and missing some of that knowledge. And that affects how people or trading. It affects how people approach the markets. It's very easy to take a signal from a signal provider. It's probably the easiest thing to do. What should happen if that signal provider should stop providing signals? You haven't acquired a skill to formulate your own decisions because you've left the risk management to someone else to do. So you're almost unable to participate without that crutch, so to speak. And there's nothing wrong with signal providers. There's nothing wrong with getting the opinions of other traders. But if you're going to do this for yourself, learn the skill for yourself.
Jimmy, you've been described as one of the most disciplined traders and investors. How has your focus on execution influenced your trading outcomes? And if you had to choose, what skill or quality do you believe is most important for a trader's success?
So you could realistically call up any broker that you want. You can have them access a government bond for you. You can enjoy the coupon, the yield that comes with that. You can invest in a blue chip share and take very little risk. But to take on this trading journey or this investment journey, especially if you're going to be a self-funded trader who's going to want to look to this as a new income stream, as a way of a potential career, that's a very different mindset and a very different kind of approach that's needed to be able to go through that. And it comes with experience. It comes with, again, going through the fire. That's how you come out the other side, right? You have to come out of the trading environment with some battle scars so that you remember the things that you need to do and the things that you don't need to do. If you're fortunate enough to not make it out with as many battle scars, then you've won. That's part of the victory.
I would be worried with those people who have no battle scars. The battle scars have yet to come.
Yes. Yes.
The common denominator that I see with successful traders that I've worked with or that I know, it's using the tough times as learning experiences and factoring in, you know, bad decisions as paying for the education, you know, to learn and understand, you know, the way forward. So fully agree with you there. Now, Jimmy, at Exodus, we prioritize providing traders with tools that enhance efficiency and features like fast withdrawals. How important do you think this is for traders to have quick access to their funds?
So if you think about the South African context, where a lot of traders are looking at this as an income stream, as a way of feeding their families, there are financial obligations that don't wait for anyone. Bond repayments, debit orders, they don't afford you the luxury of saying, we'll collect it in 5 extra days.
No snooze button.
Right. So when you're doing this and this is your only source of income or your primary source of income, you need to be able to have those timely access facilities available. You need to be able to, and it comes from understanding the needs that are placed on the individual outside of their trading life. It's not to say that fast withdrawals are needed because individuals just want convenience. For some, it is a convenience game. The other side of it is, historically, when you look at some of the brokers that have participated, because of the international transfer days and all of that, it's always taken a bit of time for withdrawals to be processed. And when you've got that kind of environment with brokers that are traditionally nefarious, that have ulterior motives, that don't want to process those withdrawals, they create an environment where there's a lack of trust between the trader and the broker. And so the trader then says, I will go with someone I know I can get my money out of. I will go with someone I know I can see a physical presence in if I need to go into their offices and dispute something, because of the historic experiences that traders have gone through. And so for brokerages that want to operate in a market like South Africa and Africa and anywhere else in the world, that come in and suddenly say, but we don't want to offer you these sorts of solutions, that brokerage must understand that those solutions are being demanded because their own fellow competitors in the space created that environment. And so I think, again, the primary thing around the instant withdrawals and the immediacy of the access to the funds is human beings have immediate obligations, have pressing obligations. And I think it also starts to look a little different. I mean, I think about my personal experiences and I look at just when you're trading other types of funds or portfolio management, or you're looking at things from a longer term perspective, you start to plan better. So you start to anticipate that if I make the withdrawal now, I need to give it 15 days or I need to give it X amount of time or whatever it is. And that comes from experience. It comes from going through the delayed withdrawals, the this and that, the debit orders coming at a certain time and your withdrawal being late because you need to classify it with the relevant authorities for tax reasons and all of those things. Now, if you don't understand that part of your journey, that exists outside of a broker, outside of a trader. That exists within the confines of the laws of those countries that you operate in. So it's nice to have these immediate facilities. It makes life very, very convenient. But I would say to traders and investors out there, prepare for not having those things. If you have a broker like XNest that offers you those solutions, it is because a broker like XNest went through the effort of getting an ODP license and becoming licensed and regulated in that region so that they could offer you that convenience.
I mean, for me, I just see it as at least giving traders the peace of mind that it's available, the facilities are available. And there's so many moving parts with trading. I believe that it's the broker's responsibility to present as less challenges and, you know, complications as possible. As we conclude, Jimmy, what are your thoughts on the born versus made debate in trading? Meaning, are traders born or are they made?
Traders can be made, but they can also be born. I think there is an inherent set of qualities that comes about that might affect how you approach trading. Qualities you would be born with. And of course, we spoke about the skill sets. So the skill sets you can acquire, you can be made to be that. But there's fundamental things that as human beings, things like your risk tolerance, your personality type will tell you whether you are able to tolerate a certain level of risk or not. Now, you can teach yourself to tolerate more risk, to tolerate less risk. You can teach yourself to become better at handling certain situations. But inherently, as a human being, some things you are born with. Some people don't get on boats for a fear of water. Some people don't like heights. That's something you can't teach them to suddenly appreciate. Some people don't like risk. You cannot teach them to appreciate the element or the level of risk that comes with a certain amount of trading. So it's a mixture of both because some of these things are ingrained in our DNA. And again, I still say there's very few skill sets in the world that can't be taught. So there is an element where you can teach somebody to do these things.
Do you think, Jimmy, that you were born to trade or did you become a trader? Make yourself a trader.
I want to give the politically correct answer and say a bit of both, but I think it's down to a lot of circumstances. I think it's down to the experiences that I've had. I'm a firm believer that we are the sum of our experiences. And I've had experiences where I felt this is not for me. This trading world is not, I'm not born for this. I'm not made for this. I've also had experiences where I've looked back and said, I did a good job. So I don't want to say that it's a bit of both for the sake of saying it's a bit of both, but I've genuinely walked that journey. I've walked the journey of saying, do I have the skill set? Am I born for this? Can I handle this? How do I handle stress? How does my personality type handle disappointment? Because those things come with trading. And when you sit back as a perfectionist and you take a trade and it doesn't go the way you expect and you get angry and you deal with the emotions and all of those sorts of things, those are not things anyone can teach you because nobody knows what qualities you're born with, right? So you have to teach yourself and understand it for yourself to be successful. You have to embrace the good with the bad. So I am someone who was born to trade and then made to trade.
So you could say that you were born with the raw skills to be a successful trader, but you had the resilience to push through and develop those skills and be who you are today.
And every single day continues to be a learning experience. It doesn't stop.
Thank you, Jimmy, for sharing your invaluable experiences and insights. It's evident that both inherent qualities and developed skills contribute to the trader's journey, with execution and risk management being pivotal to traders. To our listeners, reflect on your own trading paths, identify your strengths, seek growth opportunities, and remember the importance of effective execution and managing risks. Stay tuned for our next episode and feel free to share your thoughts or questions on our social platforms. Until next time, trade wisely.